Mikey and Rin Eden,
yum.
A show about the serious and not so serious parts of our edible world. Let's eat.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Mikey and Rin Eat In. I'm Mikey, a.k.a. Daddy Chomp Chomp, a.k.a. Mikey She, a.k.a. Doughboy, a.k.a. Late for Dinner Daddy, a.k.a. Captain Yum Yum, a.k.a. Snack Boy.
Thank you, friends. It's been a great show. We'll see you next week.
Welcome back.
I'm Rin.
Hi, Rin.
A.k.a. Rin Dog. A.K.A. Big Mama.
Yeah.
A.K.A. Old Mama, let's be honest.
Stop it. It's been 8 months, and I didn't check the exact calendar date, but it's been since we brought a child into the world, mm-hmm. who is now 8 months plus, since we've recorded a show.
We're back.
I feel creaky.
In so many ways.
I feel a little dusty, just like the car in Back to the Future 3, the DeLorean that they stuck in the cave, and they had to go back and get it.
I understand this reference at
all. Pull the canvas off of it and blow the dust off the wheels of the flux capacitor powered time machine. I feel dusty, and I don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
I like that our show is like a flux capacitor time machine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's you put food into it, mm-hmm. which is what I think he did that in Back to the Future 2. I almost said Back to the Future. Different. That's a rewrite.
Yeah.
Different actors. But Back to the Future 2, I think he put the food thing in. So you put food in it and it powered the flux capacitor.
Oh, okay.
So just like our show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Put food in.
Kind of appropriate.
Powers the show. This show is about a lot of things, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
What do you think it's about?
Well, I think it's, you know, mostly about food. That's sort of the loose tether to everything that we talk about, food and fertility, right? I mean, it started as a fertility podcast and then it morphed. And so I think that those are kind of the two F's.
Yeah.
Food and fertility.
And I think the third F is farts.
Yes, definitely.
For fart jokes.
Definitely.
And then the fourth F is toe fungus, foot fungus. And then the fifth F is the fucker down the street that is building a huge house. So some of our show is going to be about construction noise in the background,
yes.
which I don't know if you can hear, but it's right behind me. I don't think they're building anything. I think they're just sawing.
That's all it sounded like.
It's sawing, and then they're just sending it somewhere else.
I haven't heard a hammer.
Not many.
Once.
No,
yeah.
For sure. So our show it's about all things food. It's about our lives. It's about your lives. Everybody eats. And then, of course, now our lives have changed a lot. We have this new baby. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of it's going to be about wild shit that happens while being new parents. A lot of it is going to be about Mikey worrying about Riggs. Oh, our baby's name is Riggs. By the way, we'll talk more about that in a second. But it's going to be about me worrying about him choking, which is
mm-hmm. a lot of our lives.
A big part of my life.
And so we are, I am an acupuncturist and an herbalist.
Yeah.
So I always think about food as medicine and sort of how it's going to nourish your body in the best way.
Yeah.
And Mikey is a chef by trade, and he now is a consultant and helps companies dream up really cool new innovative products. And so Mikey thinks a lot about food as how it feeds your soul.
Yeah, and, I think that's very true.
And so when we come together, I think that it's a really sweet place when we create a meal together.
For sure. And yeah, one of the things to watch that I think is really fun is to watch us cook together in the kitchen because – you know, Corinne is thinking about things functionally and kind of from a nutrition standpoint and like what's the freshest thing we can get from the market. And Mikey's always kind of trying to back end in butter and different kinds of salt and, you know, all the ways that I can kind of make it, you know, unctuous and delicious. And I don't really know what the term unctuous means. It might be bad.
I like it.
Yeah. I think it sounds like what it means. Yeah,
it's a little onomatopoeia-ish.
Sure. Onomatopoeic. But I just like things, you know, I kind of think of things like I eat for a living, but I'm also just kind of, I eat what I want to eat when I want to eat it. And my body looks that way. I I look like a beanbag chair that works out a little bit.
Oh my God.
Stop it.
Friends, I would like for you to join me in my campaign for Mikey to talk more nicely about himself.
Oh.
So I think maybe really you can nicely shoot about him myself. A DM and just, yeah, remind him how beautiful he is.
Yeah. As if old time listeners would know, we had an episode called Affable and Effable, which is that Mikey is affable and he's also fuckable. He's effable. So remind me of those things. One of the favorite things in my world right now is just eating with Riggs. So we're doing baby-led weaning, which there's lots of different, you know, ways to describe it. The way that I think about it is, he eats what we eat, and he eats not baby food. Like, he eats food, holds it himself, feeds himself, and basically what we try to do is every meal that we have, like whatever we're eating, he's basically eating kind of a baby version of that. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of made with his texture and, you know, his hands and his mouth, and he only has two little teeth, so it's kind of made with that in mind. And he loves to eat so much. Wow.
He is our child. It's remarkable. He, from about 4 months old, I would say, has been reaching for food.
For sure.
Has been interested in food from the jump.
Oh, my God.
Like, from the time that we took him home, he was sitting in his little... We had this beautiful little hammock thing, kind of.
Totally. Yeah,
and he was on the table while we were eating.
Yeah.
And so he's just observed food a lot.
For sure. Him locking in, like, his two biggest things are people. So faces. He locked in, like, eye-to-eye contact or whatever. Day two. And then food. Like, the second that he kind of could understand, like, I don't know what they're doing, but it looks fucking awesome. So he'll be, like, in our arms and watching us eat. He's been kind of reaching or opening his mouth when we've been eating stuff for a long time. I'm going to insert, let's see what we got here. I'm just writing down the timestamp because I'm going to drop in sounds of Riggs eating right
now. Oh, yeah.
Now. So the kid, he just flips out over food, right?
Definitely.
And
everything he's tried, he has eaten with gusto.
For sure.
I will say.
And this is a kid, you know, we don't need to get too into the weeds because, like, you know, we're now going to be doing a weekly show. We'll drop into kind of the start of his life and, you know, the time that we've had with him a little bit more. We don't want to bore you guys right at the jump, but
if you do want to hear more about the journey, because it was a lengthy one.
It was.
We've got multiple episodes.
Many episodes.
Multitudinous.
Yeah, and just to high level it, the birth was nearly as hard as the journey.
Yeah, it's pretty intense.
It was really intense. Corinne was hospitalized and there was like high blood pressure stuff. And we call it check the bingo box. How do you say it? Check the bingo card?
Yeah, I ticked all the boxes on the bingo card.
There we go.
Yeah.
She did all the things. And so, and I just think that Riggy is, so first of all, his name is Rigo. We, as everybody knows, we called him Rigatoni Party Time the whole time that he was in tummy. And we wanted to figure out a way to still call him Riggs or Riggsy. And so we found this name Rigo from some good friends of ours who had an uncle Rigo. And we just think it's a really cool name. It means ridge, kind of like the ridge that you look out to the future, like the bright future. So Rigo. But we call him Riggs or Riggy or Riggsy or Riggzilla or...
Riggs-a-roni.
Yeah, Riggs and ham. green Riggs and ham. I just think that he has, there's just been a lot of like, so I do a lot of eating out of stress, right? And I think that he's had a pretty, like he's been chill the whole time, but I think he knows that like it was an arduous journey to get here. Mm-hmm. And I feel like he's kind of like retroactively eating for the journey.
Retroactive stress eating.
Totally. Because it's just he eats with like a reckless abandon that it feels like me on a hangover day or something. I'm like, fucking get it, boy.
Well, and the interesting thing, because I always like have to, consider the esoteric nature of everything, right?
Sure.
And I think about like the early part of his life, and feeding was a challenge, right?
Yes,
he came early. He came at 37 weeks. I was induced at 37 weeks because of preeclampsia. And so my milk production like hadn't really come in. And also at 37 weeks, Mikey and I learned that babies are considered still early term.
Right.
This is like a new thing.
Yeah.
Because their suck and swallow reflex is not fully developed yet.
Right. Right.
So he had a challenge with eating from the boob or eating from a bottle.
Right.
And so I always think about that. Like, is he now,
yeah, that's interesting.
You know, oh, I can actually do this and I'm just going to like really master it. And like,
for sure.
Yeah. This sort of reckless abandon eating.
And it's also just interesting to watch the way, you know, this is the, you know, this show's about eating. Eating is such a big part of our lives and hopefully yours. But so two things have really come up for me. Like one, I have what I've called in the last couple of years, like an egg sensitivity. I feel like when I eat eggs, I just get like, I feel like I'm like phlegmy and I cough a fair amount and it's, and I make old man noises that are vaginally drying to my wife. She never wants to fuck me again after that, those sounds. But, and then Riggy has an egg allergy.
Yeah. That was pretty intense, wasn't it?
Oh, cause I, you know, cause we had our pediatrician and different people ask like, you know, is there any food allergies in the family? I was like, nah, I have like a hay allergy or whatever, like cut grass.
I have pretty intense environmental allergies. Yeah. Did as a kid, got allergy shots. And so he was sort of set up for, you know, potential allergies. He had a little bit of eczema as a baby.
Right, which is big.
Which maybe we'll talk about that at some point on the show.
Yeah, we should have like an allergist on or something to talk about that stuff.
I mean, yeah. Well, and I'd love to talk too about the way that we treated his eczema.
Yeah.
But the, you know, kiddos, babies that have eczema are more likely to have food allergies.
Right.
And so for Riggsy, it was, you know, we fed him eggs and within 5 or 10 minutes, he was like full on hives all over his trunk and his mouth. Yeah. So it was pretty intense.
Well, and then the thing that we also found out, so we fed him a whole egg, you know, like cooked egg. But we think that he's probably more allergic to the albumin, to the white of the egg.
Yeah. He got an allergy test, a scratch test. And so that sort of confirmed.
And this allergist said that he'll probably have tree allergies because the thing that you're allergic to from trees is albumin, or is like at least in the same family as egg whites, which I just think is fucking nuts. So nuts. All right, let's do some fun stuff.
We're gonna
bring back some segments that that old school Mikey and Rin fans know. We're also gonna be introducing some new stuff because we have new lives.
We do.
So first, we're going to do fat of the week. Fat of the week. So this is a segment where we talk about what's the guiltiest, maybe not guiltiest. I don't feel that guilty about it. But what is the like thickest choice that we made this week as far as stress eating goes, or something to be the food salve on our stressful lives? Do you know where you're going to go, or do you want me to go first?
Yeah, go first.
So Mike Sheether, I find one of my favorite things that I ever heard was a kind of a light story from a trophy shop owner who said that the vast majority of people coming in and getting engraved trophies were getting them for themselves, like best bowler in the world or like biggest dick in the world.
Yeah.
And I just think that's amazing. And I want to do, we should do like a serial style podcast about engraving and trophies.
It's really good.
I find as many moments as I can to give myself food treats, even if I haven't really done anything to win them or to own or to earn them. So this week I went and got my back and kind of hips worked on by my chiropractor. Is that what she is technically?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, chiropractor. And I always get out. This was at like 8:30 in the morning. Like I'd done nothing before this too. I hadn't run a marathon. I hadn't done anything. I just went and got like my back cracked. And I left there being like, bah, 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 I fucking won. So I scooped myself into Fred Meyer's, which is our local kind of Kroger experience. And I was just looking around. I'm buying all these healthy snacks. And I saw shelf-stable, pre-made brioche waffles.
Wow.
Yeah. Yum. And they were like impregnated, you're welcome, with so much butter and then crystals of sugar. So like when you eat them, they're like... and they're crunchy.
Yeah.
So I went ahead and I made myself a brioche peanut butter and brioche waffle peanut butter and jelly sandwich. So I filled the holes, the shame holes, with blended peanuts, some peanut butter, and put jelly on top. And I ate that when I didn't deserve to. So that was my self-purchased best speller in the world trophy that I gave myself.
Love it.
Yeah. So fat of the week. I felt pretty gross afterwards too. So that was cool.
You know what's interesting is I can't point to one example this week, but what's really coming up for me is the amount of like condiment / like fatty addition I put to everything that I eat.
I'm not going to say that I don't agree with this.
So like an example.
We have condiments. So I've kind of like framed it in my mind that I'm a chef and I have to like create new dishes. And so we have a lot of condiments because of that. No, we basically have like a frat boy fridge with like so many condiments and I use all of them. But lately
I have
been condimenting. Well,
and so last night, right? Okay. I'm eating, I feel like I'm eating a lot more. Breastfeeding is,
well,
it's ridiculous. It's insane.
We were flying the other day and Rin's like, I don't know why I'm hungry again. It's been like, you know, only an hour and a half. And I'm like, well, he's been on your boob for an hour and a half, right? Like a leech.
But so, you know, I have this Ezekiel bread that I really love.
Yeah.
And
delicious.
Toasted it up. And I think I put like nearly a third or a half a cup of butter on two slices of toast.
It was wet.
Like to get Ezekiel toast wet that's a feat. I don't know if you guys have ever had it, but it's a sprouted, it's a flourless bread, right? It's just sprouted grains basically. And so that shit is, it's not soft.
It's like
eating not moist.
It's like eating a Brillo pad or a very old sponge that's been crisping up in the sun.
And
it's very good.
It's really good. By the way, we're not selling it, but it's a really good like first baby toast because it doesn't get all gummy.
Right.
So, you know, babies can sort of like suck on it and Reezy loves it.
Speaking of selling it, you may have noticed that I think this is quite possibly going to be the first episode that we have where we have advertisements.
Oh yeah.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
We're hustling your ears. And we're using you for moolah, but we're also slanging some dope products to you. So I hope you appreciate it.
But I managed to make this bread kind of wet.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I challenge you all to get yourself some Ezekiel bread, toast that shit up, and see if you can make it wet.
See if you can sog it out.
Yeah.
This is the Ezekiel Sog Challenge right here. Soaking.
It's no small feat.
Soaking, which is the best thing ever.
Oh, my God. Soaking and then the other thing is I you know, made myself some tuna salad the other day.
Uh-huh.
I was going to put on these beautiful farmer's market greens. And bitch put some mayo on there.
Well, of course, like, you put mayo, but you put a lot of mayo.
Yeah.
I came home and she had me, she was like, do you want some tuna salad? And first of all, tuna salad has celery in it and like other things. This was tuna and mayonnaise and maybe lemon juice and salt and pepper. But it was like, I walked over and it was just a pink bowl of wet. And she was like, well, it might be a little bit. So she added a full other can of dry tuna and it was still wet enough that I was able to mix it together. I added a little bit, but that's awesome. Own it.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah,
I am.
You should.
I like fat.
You're married to me. Okay. We're back from a commercial, I think. I'm trying to figure it out how to do it. But I'm a professional.
Yeah, you are.
So one of the other things that has obviously changed about our lives is we have a baby. And we've also had a baby a little bit later in life. Not the latest that I've heard of, but later than a lot of people.
Close to it.
Close to it.
Close to the latest.
We were 42 when little man came into the world. Corinne is currently sitting on a bouncy ball to record the show because she has a back injury. That may or may not be related to Riggs. But there are just a lot of things that are fucking harder.
Mm-hmm.
And I just
one of which I will say is the like pelvic floor experience.
Sure.
And the way I injured myself was doing jump lunges, which I've done hundreds and thousands of times in my life.
Sure. Humble brag she just did there.
And nothing felt weird or different until afterwards.
Right.
And this is, I'm finding this a lot. Like I'll go for a run or I'll.
And, oh God, the recovery. Well, yeah.
Yeah. And my body is just really different. Like things have shifted. Abdominals have shifted. Oh, I also had a C-section.
She did.
Which is so intense. Woo. Like that's proper abdominal surgery. And so, yeah, I'm really relearning my body, which is just fascinating.
That is fascinating. It's less funny than I was going for in this segment. It's more real.
Well, let's funny it up. That's what I do. Bring the realness.
No, I love that. I'm calling this the GPP. It's the geriatric parenting party. geriatric pregnancy was how the doctors referred to the pregnancy that my wife had.
They actually now more delicately refer to it as advanced maternal age.
As if that's better. Doesn't make you feel youthful.
It makes it. It's similar to like maid of honor and matron of honor.
Jesus Christ!
It's like a very matronly phrase.
Yeah,
isn't
cat
it?
Lady's the fuck out of you like instantly.
Yeah.
You're like, wow, dude. I mean, I don't know.
We all
how cobwebby do we have to try to make me?
We all know.
Yeah. When it's and also just doesn't speak to like anything about the individual. It's just like this blanket statement. You know, you are the most youthful person that I know that's our age by a long shot. And people don't think that you're our age ever. People Thanks. Definitely think that I'm my age. Just so you know. I mean, I don't really have big parts for this segment. The one that I wanted to talk about was music together. So we have a class that you guys probably know about. Has nothing to do with food. Fuck you. If you listen to the show and you think this is all going to be about food or whatever, tune into something else. Music Together is it's a kid orgy for singing. And so you get together in a basement of a church and all the kids, at least in our situation, that's what it is. And all the kids
not
sing.
Not churchy, though.
It's oh, no, no, like, no.
Yeah.
We live in Portland and we're not that persuasion. But yeah, and I have all the kids, like 12 kids, we all sing songs that are like
babies. We're talking babies.
Oh, sorry, babies. Yeah. And the songs are good. There's okay songs. There's a lot of really bad songs.
Yeah.
But Riggs, he can be fucking losing his cookies. Mm-hmm. And we put on
Hello to Riggs. To Riggsy. So glad to see you. Hello to Riggsy. So glad to see you. Do we need to buy the rights of that?
I think I sing it at the wrong pace. And he will chill. And he chills out so quickly. It's amazing. The problem for me with this class is that it's on a painted cement floor. And they're like, hey, we get it, you guys. It's hard. You have babies. We're going to put down a couple yoga mats. And I'm like, that's what we're going to do? You could put down a fucking like full king-size mattress and it's not going to be soft enough for me. So during this class, I have to get down on the ground with my child and try to look semi-graceful getting onto the ground. And then we sit there for 20 minutes. And then mid-class, they're like, hey, let's just dance around with the babies. You've been sitting coccyx against basically concrete. And then I have to stand up creaky as the fucking Tin Man from The Wizard of Oz. And then like, and all the other guys in the class are and men and women are 26.
Yeah.
And I'm
26
like,
to 32. And I'm like, so 10 to 15 years younger than us.
I'm pink sweating and creaking so hard. And I have to like twist my back with Riggsy. It's mortifying.
And the sweet little, leader of the class.
Love her. Yeah.
She is just a gem. And she always says things like, if you need to take care of your bodies and you know, everybody moves in different ways and blah. And I'm like, she's looking right at us.
Directly.
Cause she has kids that are 26 and she's our age and she gets it.
Yeah.
And so
she's like, and then, you know, if you have an injury and I'm like, I have an injury. Injuries have been caused by years on calendars. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it turns out that the geriatric pregnancy advanced maternal age doesn't end at pregnancy.
It sure doesn't. The big wheel keeps on turning.
Yeah. And, I think my, like the most poignant moment, recent moment for me is, we have, you know, three other babies in the neighborhood that are all right around Riggsy's age within a month.
Yeah.
And one family has this nanny. And we thought, oh, maybe we'll do a little like nanny share, like just for a few hours a week when we want to record the podcast, when I want to get some work done, when Mikey wants to get some work done, when we want to go out.
Yeah.
And so she came over and, you know, we met her. And she was fine. She was like a nice person, lovely person. She is almost the exact same age as me. I'm 43. She's 44.
She is.
And she mentioned that she's been taking care of children for like her entire life, basically, you know? And I thought, oh, cool. She's got like, maybe she's got a bunch of siblings and she's got a couple kids. And she does have all those things.
She does.
She also has a 4-year-old grandchild.
She does. Right. She just, yeah, offhandedly mentioned, she's like, oh, yeah, I'm taking care of my grandkid. And we're like, wow, who's 3.5 years older than our baby?
Than our baby. Yep. Yeah. It was like so pointed in that moment.
Well, and I have so many friends that I've talked to who had babies, you know, right out of high school or whatever. And, you know, they're like, I can't believe you're getting into the baby world.
I have we went to Bend, Oregon on a little family trip few months ago. Mama got herself this really nice massage. It was beautiful. This woman that was massaging me, also 44.
Yeah.
Also grown kids. I told her how old I am and that I have a baby. And she literally said, oh my God, I can't believe you're doing that at 42.
Which is a really cool thing to say to someone when they're just getting on the roller coaster. Like,
like, I'm already strapped in. You clink, don't clink, clinking. Say that.
Right.
I mean, I'm doing it. I'm good. It just, that's
fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's sort of.
This is like, there's a guy on TikTok, on the TikToks, to sound young, at Six Flags or something like that, who every time he like lets the, you know, the person go on the thing that shoots up in the air, you know, the Tower of Terror or whatever. Yeah. He goes, oh no. Like as if something's, dude, it's already scary enough. You got to like make them think that they're just about to die.
Right.
Fuck you. We got a secret quizathon, Mikey quizathon.
Oh, really? No.
Didn't even know about it. Yeah.
Oh no. New listeners. This is not indicative of what our podcast is.
You stop it. Shut your mouth. This is a secret segment that I often bring up when we have guests, but it's just been a long time and I feel like doing it. So we're calling this one Case of Doulas. So that's questions with doulas because this is kind of about baby feeding babies. So Case of Doulas. Case also means cheese.
You're welcome.
Okay, so I'm going to ask Corinne questions. The answers are only which I know. And my answers are objectively the right ones. Mm-hmm. So I'll tell you if you win or you're right or not.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready?
And so the quizathon is the same quizathon we used to do where I basically have no chance of winning or getting the right
answer. You have just as many chances as anybody else. As much of a chance. 50-50 is the chance. What? There's a chance you could win. There is. Uh-huh. Here we go. First question. What is the best food while parenting?
The best food while parenting.
The best food while parenting.
I would say something that is you can take on the go because
I like this.
You're constantly moving and your baby, you don't want to get it like on your baby's head or so I would say like a little protein bar.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I like a protein bar. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or a string cheese.
Ooh, string cheese is really close. That's a really good, answer.
I'm going with string cheese because it's queso doulas.
Queso doulas. I'm sorry. That's a wrong answer. the best food while parenting is the time that I got a slice of pizza over Riggs's head. He was on my chest and I grabbed a slice of pizza from Moventi's Pizza on Hawthorne Boulevard in Portland, Oregon. And I ate it. And a little bit of the oil dripped onto his shirt. And I don't think I told you what it was. I think I might have just thrown the shirt away. Fuck. Okay, second question. 0-1 is your current score. Okay. Mm-hmm. Best dessert.
Best dessert.
What's the best dessert with a baby?
Well, for me, For some reason, it's dark chocolate. That's like really lighting up my brain these days. It's the like my pleasure center is really tickled.
Wow.
Hey, dark chocolate.
I'm going to take a little break here, folks. Shiki's turned on. So final answer is dark chocolate?
Yeah.
Partially, right? Dark chocolate was in the dessert that I ate, which was the 900 hospital pies and cakes that I ate while you were nearly dying in the hospital. I went down to the cafeteria and ate pies and cakes.
My wife might be stroking out, but I'm going to have this grasshopper pie.
Dude, that was a new thing for me. Grasshopper pie. Never had heard of it before. Fake green mint shit in the middle and dark chocolate around it. So partial credit. Yeah. I'm going to give you 0.5.
Great.
Point wow. five to I don't win know if the game.
I've ever gotten 0.5.
Yeah, to win the game, you just need to have any score.
Great.
Okay. Best food for kids. What's the best food for babies or kids? More kids than babies.
More kids than babies.
Yeah.
I would say something that has. I mean, can it be a meal or just one anything. Food?
Yep.
I'm going to say avocado.
Oof. Good choice. Uh-huh. Very good choice. Wrong answer. The best food for kids are the goodie balls that maybe I've talked about on the show before, but that my mom used to give me, which were kid throat sized exactly, made of peanut butter, honey maybe, and then coated in dry, what do you call it? Powdered milk.
Oh, wow.
They were a choking sensation that swept the nation, folks. Sheethy.
Would you say that the goodie balls were the inception of your choking phobia?
Whether they were my choking phobia's inception or my mother's, uh-huh. which then became my choking phobia, yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. I choked. I hucked one into the back of my throat. This was maybe after. I'll tell you, I choked on it. I think my mom had to York it out of my throat, like kind of smack me on the back, whatever, mm-hmm. something like that. Mm-hmm. But I think before I choked on it, my mom had brought goodie balls for the entirety of my preschool class.
Oh, God.
Like 25 kids that all could have just choked on these little death pellets, these little death balls. So, yeah, goodie balls. Mm. Not so goody-goody. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Okay, we got two more questions. What is the best late-night snack with a baby? Oh, you didn't get that one right. Sorry. I don't know if I told you that, but yeah.
Clearly. A big scoop of peanut butter, as long as your baby doesn't have peanut allergies.
Oh, that's good. I like that. Mm-hmm. That's the wrong answer. Best late night snack was the times that when you were breastfeeding, we had to wake up in the middle of the night and we made chicken fingers. We made these like, what's that? Applegate Farms. And they make these like buffalo chicken tenders. And we were like, it was like 2:30 in the morning. We're both like just wild tired. And I made us like platters of chicken fingers.
Yeah, remember those days?
So good. We had like charcuterie boards, cheese platters. It was buck wild.
It was buck wild.
It was
wild.
So fun.
Eating in our bedroom?
Oh.
Imagine doing that right
we
now.
We had, there was a period of time, just so
there
you guys
were no know, rules.
No, we turn like our Wi-Fi off at night sometimes. cell phones are in another part of the house, like no technology in our bedroom. There was a part when Riggy was first born, I had my iPad in the room. I was reading iPad books. We were eating in the room. We were eating like maybe in bed. I was definitely eating in bed. It was nuts.
Yeah.
Buck wild.
It really was.
Okay. You missed that one too. Okay. Final question. Uh-huh. What is the best song with a baby? What's the best
Hello,
music?
Hello, Durixi. So glad to see you.
That's so good.
Music together, the hello song.
Music together, the hello song. Final answer.
No, I actually think it's Ariana Grande, Into You.
It's always the first song that we listen to. We had one this morning.
Yeah, and there's just so much dance party potential. And there's like, wow, wow. There's like these cool noises. It's such a good beat. It's a boogies bop. It's so good.
I'm going to put up on Mikey and Rinny Din a video of Rinny and Riggsy dancing to that song. And it's so cute. I love it. I don't love it enough as the answer. It's not the right answer. But the correct answer is my favorite song when I was a kid, which was Average White Band, Pick Up the Pieces.
I don't even know what that song is.
Pretty funky song. Pretty great. Average White Band. A little racist, maybe. So final score, 0.5. Not a winning score, though. You have to have a point. You have to have... You do have to have one full whole point. If a Domino's guy came with a half a pizza, you wouldn't be pumped. So you had, sorry, you lose.
Feels unfair.
It's fucking dumb. All right, do you want to run the next section up the flagpole?
Yes, I sure do.
Pop culture corner.
Oh, I almost forgot. I almost forgot, friends. Yeah, we, Mikey and I are sometimes garbage monsters when we eat, and we're also sometimes garbage monsters with the media that we consume.
Sure. Usually while we're garbage eating.
Definitely.
It's usually popcorn, though, so it's not that garbage. If we're watching bad TV, it's usually popcorn.
Yeah, that's true.
Air popcorn.
With how much butter on it, Rin? So much how much butter you want to put on it, Rin?
We get those blocks of Kerrygold butter. And I know that that's two sticks of butter, right? And there's plenty of times where I've gone to make our popcorn and I've just been like, eh, and I've done half of the block, which is a stick of butter. No doubt. But we air pop the popcorn, so I feel like it's like balanced out. It's already healthy already.
Yeah, so we dip into TV like currently we're watching The Bachelorette, and I am, I'll shout it from the rooftops, not afraid to say it. I've been watching it for 20 years.
It's the best.
It feels like home. Another show that I watch that I think it would push your limits.
It's a bridge too far.
Too much, yeah. Is The Kardashians. Again, like I've grown up with these women.
Yeah.
I love seeing like Kim's jet, and I don't care. Yeah. I really don't care. And Khloe's jeans. I don't know. I don't care.
What are her jeans?
She's got a denim company, but also just the way that she wears jeans. It's like, I don't know. It's kind of remarkable.
Right. Does she wear them upside down? Arms first.
No barking.
Our duck's in the background and our baby's asleep. And oh boy, there's no murderous rage like the rage that comes from an Amazon delivery bark from our dog. Oh, death.
But what we thought we'd do is when there's something interesting in the kind of pop culture ether around pregnancy,
Stupid baby names or like a dumb food product that someone's putting out.
Yeah, we'd chat about it. And so one of the most current ones is Kourtney Kardashian is pregnant.
She is.
Pregnant for the fourth time. She's 44 years old.
Yeah.
And she was pretty open about sharing her IVF journey, her and hubby Travis Barker.
So they did IVF.
They did. Okay. Yeah. And I don't remember if I think that they just didn't get any embryos. I know that she also had eggs frozen, and then some of the eggs didn't survive the thaw.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
Also none of them made it to embryo stage. Oh. And so, I find it really, I don't know. I find it so interesting to just hear the stories and hear the journey.
Totally.
Cause IVF
and famous
for us,
or not. Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
IVF for us was a lot.
For sure.
It's a lot.
When Chrissy Teigen and Beyonce and Taylor Swift all talking about miscarriages and stuff, I think that's like, it's just, these are, they're topics that don't get talked about. And I think it's because they're things that women go through and people don't want to hear that shit.
Right.
And I think it's amazing when people amplify the stories.
Yeah, 100%. She did it in sort of an interesting way. But it's, it's in the conversation.
Yeah.
And then my understanding is that she then got pregnant without assisted reproductive technology. Right.
Right? That's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
amazing. I sometimes like bristle a little bit when those stories are out there, right? Because it's like, it's pretty rare,
right?
For a 44-year-old to just get pregnant. But also, and I say just get pregnant, it's also brings up, and Mikey and I talked a little bit about this, the what do you call getting pregnant without IVF?
Right. Yeah, sure.
Right. Because a lot of people say natural conception.
And I'm like, right. But what, and IVF is, it's an intervention.
Right.
But I mean, at the end of the day, at least for an assist. Yeah. For our part of it, it was literally just, we needed like the kismet. We needed the, marriage. What do we call those people? that we're watching.
Matchmaker. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. We just needed, egg and sperm brought together. They were both from us, whatever. But I mean, there's different versions of IVF. I just also think it's interesting to talk about, like, when I hear those sorts of stories where someone tried and they went through infertility and they tried IVF or whatever and then got pregnant on their own, what I don't like is that it adds fuel to the just calm down or just like drink a margarita and you'll get pregnant. Because for some people, that's great. That's true. Yeah. For a lot of people, not fucking true. For us, it was it wouldn't have happened had we not done IVF.
Right. Well, and the other interesting piece, right, is that we are talking about heterosexual couples, right?
Of course,
this is
right.
Like, you know, queer couples, that's, you don't, there's no natural conception, right? Or whatever this phrase is that you want to say.
Sure.
And so it's, you know, I find that really interesting too, that we like, how do we name all of these parts of fertility and pregnancy and conception that I think for a long time were just P and the V.
Right, of course.
You get pregnant.
Right.
Or you don't.
Right. Well, what's interesting is like, I'll talk to our queer friends that are trying to conceive and I'm like, the end of our experience is the beginning of theirs.
Right.
Like
right.
The last thing that we're trying to do is literally they're like, yeah, that's, you know, and I'll be saying things as if like, I'm like, oh, well, you know, then we have to do this. And they're like, yep.
Yeah.
We obviously had to do that too.
Right.
And it's an interesting world to try to be inclusive of everybody's experience too, because I mean, the things that we went through and the reasons that we did IVF and the reasons that we had infertility are 1,000,000% different for someone else who might have spent the same amount of time and gone through the same procedures. And it's just everybody has their, I know there, and there probably is a better way to talk about it.
Yeah. I would love for some education on that.
And also reach out if you guys have gone, a lot of our listeners have gone through IVF, IUI, surrogacy, all the different versions.
Donor eggs, donor sperm.
Yeah. And there's 1,000,000 ways to, and they, you know, ultimately like just understand, like, I don't give a fuck how you get a baby. I don't give a fuck if you're someone who doesn't want to have kids. Mm-hmm. Like all of your choices are right. All of it's good. I don't care if
well, and at the end of the day, you should just have the choice, right?
Yeah, just have the choice to do anything.
Yeah.
Well,
your body and your reproductive future and your healthcare.
For sure, obviously.
Yeah.
We'll get into that on another show, but we're getting kind of in the zone of where I think we want to, let's land the plane.
Let's land it.
So we like to end every show with what you should be cooking right now, kind of like what are the fun things that we're cooking that you could also do in your house, and also like what we're eating from our land. So we live in Portland, Oregon. The farmer's market is fucking choice right now.
Oh my God, it's beautiful.
Mid-July. We've got in our backyard, we're sitting here in our back room and we're looking at our fig tree is popping off. We have a creepy blackberry bush that's come over the fence.
Yeah, creeping over the fence.
Like Wilson from Home Improvement. And giving us these insane blackberries we've never had before. We have blueberries popping off.
Tomatoes,
cucumbers that we kind of fucked up.
Yeah.
But
green beans. Tons of mint, tons of basil.
Yeah. And so my favorite thing that we've been cooking lately is, I mean, for one thing. Okay, sorry about that. I guess that our batteries died or something. Again, dusty, crusty, coming back from dusty, crusty, musty. But so what I was saying is that this is my time of year where everything goes on the grill. I love to just marinate things all day. So I've got like tri-tip marinating. I've got corn that's got delicious kind of cheese butter on it. And then I'm just going to throw everything on the grill. It all comes out on a big platter. We all gather around it. We have berries with like, you know, some delicious whipped cream for dessert. Mint from our garden. Just make it easy.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. We've also got Riggy is, you know, he's eating everything. But my favorite thing to do is, you know, again, because he's just got the two little piranha teeth. And so I'll just grab a handful of blueberries and just like give him a little smash in between my fingers and just feed them to him. And it's like, can you imagine a kid who's not really had that much food and then you're eating like fresh berries? Mm. It must be insane.
Well, this has like been my dream since wanting to have a baby, right?
Yeah,
and
for sure.
Last Sunday when we went to the farmer's market, the berries, this is my favorite season.
Yeah. Right?
It's berry season.
Yeah.
And Oregon has berries I've never heard of.
For
thimble
sure.
berries
yep.
and Marion berries.
Yep.
And, you know, Sunday was the first time that we took a Marion berry.
Yeah.
Perfectly ripe, like still warm from the sun.
Yeah.
And put it in our baby's mouth.
Totally.
And stained then, all of his clothes.
I was going to say, walked around the farmer's market with a baby that looked like he'd just been punched in the mouth because he had like blood coming out of his mouth. Nope, it's Mary and Mary, promise.
But to see his eyes, it's just like, oh my God.
For sure.
So much joy.
And I just think, you know, some things to think about. If you're making something hot, think about, could that be cold? One of the best things to do right now is just blend something up with like some cream or some broth or some whatever and make a cold soup. Mm-hmm. Like one of the best things in the world is like pea pod, you know, or like, you know, snap peas, blend it with cucumbers, mint, a little bit of yogurt and some broth, and then just chill it down, serve yourself a little cold soup. It's so fucking good. Mm. Yeah. Mm. But we love you guys. Of course, reach out anytime. Let's eat at MikeyandRin.com. On the socials, we're at Mikey and Rin. I don't know. I'm glad to be back.
Yeah, happy to be back.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah.
I feel dusty, but I feel like...
I feel less dusty
now. I have
now.
A little...
Ooh, nice. Today. I like that. Yes, I was thinking like a little bit of like the beach shower. So I think I could just kind of wash like my ankles up to kind of my lower knees are less dusty now. So thanks, you guys. We love you.
Love you.